The motif that connects the first three episodes of this story is the motif of being born again from above. The translations, some have born again, some have born from above. It's because the Greek word anothen means both above and again. And both are implied here. But you can only, translate with one word. I think it's best to use both words. So without being born again from above is, I think, the best translation, because without it, the Nicodemus response, how can anyone be born after having grown old, and can you enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again, doesn't make any sense. If he says without being born from above, you're not born from above out of your mother's womb. So in order for it to make sense with Nicodemus' statement, you have to have that again. The words, the verbal threads that link this are, first of all, Jesus' statement then, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, and then no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born. So that verbal thread is what connects that. The next element of connection is that you must be born again from above. When Jesus says, don't be astonished that I said to you, or surprised that I said to you, you must be born again from above, which is, again, a verbal thread connecting to his first statement. So both of these are expositions, then, of the first statement, this first puzzle that Jesus gives to Nicodemus. The other verbal thread that connects, then, the last two episodes is the Son of Man and the Son. So in the first one, except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man, and then the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, and that God gave his only Son. God didn't send the Son into the world. So those are the verbal threads that connect this story. It is very possible that there is an element of laughter in Nicodemus saying, how can anyone be born again after having grown old? I think it's quite possible that it was told as a kind of joke, and that Jesus then responds with a somewhat playful response. This is rabbinic repartee. This is mutual exploration. And so that element of Jesus' delight in saying provocative things that then people don't understand and that they then are invited to explore, this is his way, and it is his delight in exploring the mysteries of God and inviting others to join them. So I think some sense of that, rather than that he's making a series of profound statements, that there's a certain playfulness and rabbinic joy in his statements here. And so also then his response to Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things. I think even a little Yiddish accent there would be just fine. And truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we've seen, yet you don't receive our testimony. And the last comment about this is that in, again, some of the translations, the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, are made into a narrative comment, and that Jesus' speech stops at whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then that the narrator makes this comment, for God so loved the world. I don't think that's the way it is. This is part of Jesus' speech. This is his comment on what it is that God is doing, and is continuous then. It may be that there is a certain turn to the audience from having talked with Nicodemus, and now that the audience is Nicodemus. But this is a continuation and of Jesus' explanation of this great mystery. This is the first real passion prophecy in the Gospel of John. So must the Son of Man be lifted up is a prophecy of Jesus being lifted up on the cross and of his being lifted up in glory.